Good morning and welcome to worship on this Reformation Sunday, a Sunday when we'll also be receiving new members, for which we are truly grateful, and also doing the presentation of Bibles to our children. Most of the children will be at the later service today because they are singing, the children's choir, so I don't expect we'll have too many for the Bible distribution at this service, but want you to know that that's happening. So, as we prepare our hearts for worship, I invite all who are able to stand and to face the back of the church, the front entrance of the church. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and merciful, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On that word of grace and promise, I invite you to take a moment for self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort us in times of trial. Defend us against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears and your hearts to hear the Word of God.
The first reading comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by the deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. There's an old children's song. that reminds me of the importance of the Word of God. Jesus loves me, this I know, maybe you've heard of it, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. If you continue in my word, Jesus said, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Like those who first heard Jesus say this, we may be tempted to pull out the freedom card. That is to say, we may be quick to point out that we've never been slaves to anyone. After all, we live in the land of the free. But are we truly free? How many of us are slaves to our need for control, to our desire for perfectionism in ourselves and in those around us, to other people's expectations of us, or to our desires for success, fame, and fortune? How many of us are slaves to our jobs, to our addictions, or to our creditors? Consider these three examples. Number one, he started working for a Fortune 500 company right after college. He knew he'd have to work hard, that there would be long days and even a lot of late nights. But the money was more than he ever imagined that he would be paid, more than he dreamed possible. One of the first things he did was buy a new Tesla with all the bells and whistles, and then a lavish home with a to-die-for view, and then a second home by a lake, which meant he had to buy a boat, of course, and then an SUV to tow the boat. And the list went on and on and on. Only there was little time to enjoy it. Was he free? Or was he a slave to his job? Number two. She took her first drink before she reached her teenage years, not because she liked the taste, but because of the way it made her feel. Or more precisely, the way it made her not feel. It helped her to forget the childhood trauma she was experiencing. So she drank her way through her teens and young adult years and into early adulthood, trying desperately to numb the pain. But the pain not only persisted, it got worse. She spiraled further and further and further into that black hole of depression and the dark world of substance abuse. And the more she drank, the more she despised herself. Was she free? Or was she a slave to her addiction? Number three. They started out with debt from college. Then an extravagant wedding set them back even further. They both had great jobs, combined a six-figure income. Still, between their student loans, their car payments, their rent, all of their income was being chewed up and leaving them very little of take-home pay or disposable income. It seemed that every month they got further and further behind, and so they started using credit cards. And they used those credit cards to meet their monthly expenses. They started charging groceries and gas and all the things that they felt they needed, including food. they accumulated so many points on their credit cards that they were able to cash in those points and take a really great trip. All the while, they continued to rack up more and more debt. Were they free? Or were they slaves to their creditors? These examples, while fictitious, certainly ring true from my experience. We live in a society of fat wallets and empty lives, of people using things or people, other people, to try to fill themselves up, to fill the emptiness inside. Our society is filled with people who are trying to escape their pain through substance abuse. And let's face it, we live in a consumer-driven culture. We're bombarded by messages constantly that entice us, that lure us into accumulating more and more. And some people are so in debt that they don't even know where to begin to try to dig themselves out of it. Whether we're talking about a workaholic who needs to prioritize his life and be reminded of what's most important, or an alcoholic who must admit she is powerless over alcohol and cannot free herself from her addiction, or those with excessive debt who need to seek help putting their financial houses in order, all are slaves. And the truth is, each and every one of us is a slave, even in this land of the free, or maybe especially in this land of the free. We are all of us, enslaved. And perhaps our greatest sin is in not being able to or willing to admit that we are slaves and that we need a power higher than ourselves to free us. None of us is free. And not only are we not free, but we Christians, we get it right when we confess, as we did this morning, that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We say that again and again and again, but let that sink in. We are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. It's true. In one sense, none of us truly is free. Yet Jesus reminds us, if we continue in his word, we are truly his disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Notice Jesus says, the truth will make us free. We will be made free. This is not by our own doing, lest any of us boast, but rather it is by the mercy and grace of God. So here's the good news. God has made us free in a singular event, a singular act of redemption through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And God continues to make us free each and every day that our old Adam and our old Eve are drowned to sin and raised up to new life. And in the fullness of time, rest assured, God will make us truly free by reuniting us with all the beloved in God's eternal realm. For while the cross of Christ is indeed a one-time event, one in which we have already been made free, sin continues to separate us from God and to keep us captive and in bondage and needing to be freed from all that which keeps us from being the persons God created us to be. So, or therefore, let me remind you, continue in my word, Jesus said, and you will be made free. Continue in God's word, brothers and sisters in Christ, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Thanks be to God. Amen. On behalf of Central Lutheran Church, it is my privilege to welcome into our family of faith the following people who have indicated that they would like to join our church. Barbara Bergeson, and I'm going to invite you to just come forward here and stand before the altar. Barbara Bergeson, Elise Jameson, Libby Kelly, Jeannie and Jim Savage, and Susan and Ray Ward are joining our church, but in absentia, they're traveling right now and will soon return to us. And I will introduce you to them at that time if you haven't yet met them. If there are others, I've been on vacation for 10 days and just returning. So if there are others who intended to join our fellowship today, I'd invite you to come forward as well. I don't want to miss naming people. And seeing none and looking around at familiar faces, we will continue then. So please follow along on page 8 of your bulletin and respond with these new brothers and sisters in the bold responses. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism, and we give thanks for these people, one with us in the body of Christ, who today are making public profession and affirmation of their baptism. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for these sisters and brothers whom you have made your own by water and the word in holy baptism. You have called them to yourself, enlightened them with your gifts and the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this boldly in the name of Christ. Amen. And now I ask all of us to join in together, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin and confess the faith of the church. First, by renouncing these three things. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? I renounce them. And now these three proclamations. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You have made public profession of your faith, and so I ask, do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? If so, please respond. I do, and I ask God to help and guide me. And now, people of God, as you are aware of these newer members coming into our church, many of whom have worshiped and already served with and among us for many, many months, and in some cases years. Elise, I'm thinking of you. part of our corral. As we receive them as fellow members with us in this body, I ask you, people of God, do you promise to support and pray for these new brothers and sisters in their life in Christ? We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, and that you cleanse us from sin and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in these brothers and sisters the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let us rejoice with these sisters and brothers in Christ. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world. And as we continue that now with the prayers of the church, the congregation may be seated, and that'll give you a chance for me to ask you to turn around, and I'll just introduce to you so that you know names. But soon we will have a pictorial directory, in which case you can study it between Sundays and come prepared to greet one another, all of us. So first, Jim and Jeannie Savage. With applause. Libby, Elizabeth, actually, but Libby Kelly. Barbara Bergerson. Annalise Jameson. Wait a minute. You're applauding for all of them now, right? I'm glad she went last. But one of their own, the corral, one of their own has now decided to make her membership at Central official. We are delighted by all those who we consider friends of the congregation as well. And so we encourage you in our life together to share and enjoy each other's company and get to know one another. So thank you. I'll ask you to be seated, and we'll continue with the prayers of the church. In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all God's people and all of God's creation. God, our fortress, we pray for the church. Write your law of love on the hearts of your people, that we may remain steadfast in our witness to your grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our liberator, we pray for your earth. Bring new life to overused land and contaminated waters. Reform and reorient our relationship with the environment so that we might more faithfully care for and steward all of your creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our refuge and strength, we pray for the nations. Where they are in an uproar, bring wise leadership and comfort for those in distress. Make wars to cease and peace to enter every land. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our very present help in times of trouble, we pray for all in need. Show mercy to refugees and all who are fleeing from danger. Shelter any without homes. Calm the fears of all who are facing illness, surgery, a new diagnosis, chronic pain. Be with them, give them comfort, and restore them to good health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our Redeemer, we pray for this congregation and for our partnerships with United Lutheran and Emmaus Lutheran and our sister congregations throughout Eugene, Springfield, and surrounding areas. Bless all who are preparing for baptism and for those we've now received as fellow members in this body of Christ through this affirmation of our baptisms. Open all of our hearts to your Holy Spirit. Teach us your word and give us all courage to proclaim our faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, our stronghold, we give thanks for those who have gone before us in faith. Today, especially, we remember Martin Luther and all the reformers. Continue to renew and reform us as we strive to continue and abide in your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us show a sign of peace to those around you, and also turn and face the camera and wave to the people at home. We also welcome you and are glad that you're worshiping with us. At this time, I'd like to invite Vern White to come forward as we launch into our Fall Commitment Sunday, where we emphasize the ways in which we bring our gifts and offerings to God and thanks and praise for all God does for us. Today is the first of a series that we'll be offering, and then on November 20th, we'll be having our Commitment Sunday. So thank you, Vern.
Easy to remember, and when sung in service, it was usually accompanied by a piano. And often, at the end of the service, as people were filing out, we would hear the humming and singing in a faint whisper of a cappella. God forgave me in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. It was infectious, like the smile and laughter of great-grandchildren. And, oh, my Lord, how freely you have given. I was pondering over this old song. I had to ask myself, really, what is it saying now? And you know what came to mind? Central Lutheran Church, the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, our motto. A better phrase for motto, I believe, would be our rallying cry. Well, what it suggested was that we had work to do, and we have done it. We have work to do, and we are doing it. And we will have work to do, and we will do it. Why? Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Well, that being said, when I first came to Central, I asked myself, what am I supposed to do in this big church? Yeah, sure, I asked myself, right? I'll have you know somebody else was listening in on that conversation. But moving forward, one night there was a cottage meeting at Chuck and Arlene's home. Denny and Bonnie Betts said, we'll give you a ride because you have a hard time finding this place in the dark, so I accepted. And after arriving there, there was a round of conversation, and shortly it came to be my turn to speak. It went something like this. Hi, I'm the new kid on the block, so I'm sitting and I'm listening and I'm taking notes and I'm not rushing into anything. And you know, something was wrong with that statement, and you can guess what it was. I stated the obvious. I was the new kid. I am sitting here behaving myself. I am listening to you speak, not necessarily understanding all of what you're saying, so I am taking notes so that I might have an answer in case you ask a question. I'm not rushing into anything, not looking to be involved. Sure, the five IMs are better known as defensive thinking. But truly, I was enjoying the company and conversation, and after I started to become more comfortable, and you have heard the saying, don't get too comfortable, because you know things happen, something surely did happen. Chuck was in my general vicinity, and quoting, you know, I don't agree with you about just sitting. You need to be involved with the stewardship committee. What's your name again? Well, maybe he didn't say it exactly like that, but it leaves an image, doesn't it? Thank you, Chuck, and I do enjoy a lot being on the team. And right about then, it came to me. I was here at Central not only to listen and to take notes, but to get up and be involved. Vern, you are not here to say no. And if I were to ask the question why, I'm sure the answer that would have come back would not have been, because I said so. It would have been something like, because, Vern, you know the old songs, and you know the scriptures that inspired them. So stand up, shake the man's hand, and get busy. Oh, by the way, there was a second verse to that song. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven in Jesus' name, And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Well, there it is. Simple, right? We freely give because we have been freely given to. And I'm here to say that we, all of us, collectively, could use our help. We need us. I don't know how to put that any better. So, please, be encouraged as you are and always have been wanted. And please, know that you are and always have been needed. And please, rejoice, because you are and always have been and always will be loved. And about that great-grandchildren statement, meet me in the narthex later. I have pictures. Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Holy God, through Christ our Lord, who on a cross overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Mighty and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await Christ's coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God, and they are given freely to us, the people of God. I invite you to be seated, and as the Spirit moves you, as soon as the leaders are in place, we'll invite you to come forward down the center aisle and then return by the side aisles. The balcony will be served after your anthem, and we'll be bringing the communion up to you. So let us now rejoice in these gifts that have been given to us.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In this time of our life together, I just want to make a few brief announcements. We packed a lot into this service, and so I want to be brief about this. Adult class will be in the library. Children will meet in godly play with David and me. And I want to acknowledge that Pastor Ben is not here today. He, among many of our church members, came down with COVID. And so he is home recuperating. I have heard of many from the church that are recuperating. I didn't want to list them by name because I couldn't remember all of them. But please do lift up people that are battling with that dreaded disease that keeps circulating in our communities. And for all who have special need, please remember them in prayer. Again, I'm grateful and blessed to welcome our new members and invite you to join in a few minutes of fellowship at the end of the church service and introduce yourselves. There's coffee and treats in the narthex for you to enjoy. And then I want to mention that on Tuesday, which is All Saints Day, November 1st, we will be having our annual service of remembrance in the Memorial Courtyard at 5 p.m. We do that rain or shine, inviting you to come and join with those, especially those who have died since last All Saints Day a year ago. And so we remember those, lift those up by name and lighting a candle and hearing a bell toll in their memory. But also we lift up all the saints that rest from their labors. And we remember all those loved ones that we hold in our hearts. Whether it was a year ago or 20 years ago, we know that this time of year brings up that remembrance and an important opportunity for us to acknowledge the saints who have gone before us and the saints that were part of this community here at Central. So I invite you to that. Following that is our Together Tuesday program, as it is every week. So if you come to the service at 5, you can also then join us for the meal. They start serving at 5:15. The service out in the Memorial Courtyard is probably about a half hour. And so you'll have plenty of time to come in and enjoy a meal. Music together, children's choir, adult class, all of that still happening on Tuesday. Now, there is also an important reminder about the next couple of weekends, starting with next weekend, when the chorale and musicians will be offering Rutter's Requiem at both services, 8:30 and 11. Don't forget to change your clocks. You actually gain an hour. And then the following weekend, our Cairo lecture series. And so two important events back-to-back. Just want you to be aware of those. The newsletter will be coming out today in your inbox if you receive it via email. And in the mail, it'll be coming shortly thereafter. And so you can read more about all of those things I mentioned. With that, we now turn to our benediction. As I'm seeing that we don't have children present, as I mentioned, they will be singing at the late service, so I expected that to be the case. But let me invite you to stand if you're able and receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Peace. Serve the Lord.